Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, welcome to A Good Football Show. I am Matt Straub. It is Thursday, July 14th, and today we're going to be looking at some wide receiver tiers. We'll get a snapshot of how we should be prioritizing wide receivers in fantasy drafts right now as of mid-July and moving forward. I'm joined by Lawrence Jackson, Pat Corain, and Kyle Dvorak. Fellas, before we get into that, as I understand it, we are in the midst or maybe near the end of a big annual fantasy football tradition, the industry draft, the Scott Fish Bowl. Where are we in this whole thing? What's the latest? For anyone who doesn't know, what is it? What's going on? Someone bring us up to speed.
So the Scott Fish Bowl Annual Charity League. I'll have to pull up Scott's Twitter to get the actual name of the charity. But the point is, tons of content made around it.
Fantasy
Cares. Yes, Fantasy Cares, yeah. Exactly. Tons of content made around it. Tons of fundraising done. All in an effort to bring together everyone for a greater cause, because mostly we're just on Twitter shouting at each other, insulting each other's intelligence about like 2 points of projection. So to actually do something good with our degenerate lives once a year is probably now, important.
Oh, I was going to say, now we get to do that about a charity league.
It's true. It's just like another avenue, which is a good outfit for our rage, a good way to channel this destructive self-hatred of each other into something that at least can help other people. Really unique scoring settings. It actually functions kind of like a best ball tournament in that you get cut downs, which helps okay. me sort of finagle it into the framework I have. But scoring is really cool, and it's different every year. It's similar this year to last year, 2 years ago, but overall the scoring gets like tweaked and updated every year, so it is not like any league I have ever played in other than other Scott Fish Bowls.
But it's ballpark, like how many people are in it ballpark, and is there only one Cooper Cup?
3,
is there only one Justin Jefferson in this universe? No, there's multiples.
Yeah,
no, it's all split
it's
up
literally like a best
ball.
Yeah, okay. It is like a best ball tournament in that you play in your own little league, and then right. you enter a larger league where you could be facing almost the exact same lineup as yourself. And yeah, it's a few thousand or something like that.
It's gotten bigger every 3,000.
Yeah, man, it's big as far as like traditional fantasy goes. Anything other than best ball, it's really big.
Crazy. So.
Yeah, and it's basically a super flex league. It's also a very deep flex league. It can start up to 7 wide receivers, I think, with one in the super flex. You can flex kickers. And kickers actually are like, they score a decent amount because there's no miss point. There's no negative points for missed kicks this year, I believe. It's essentially a half PPR league, sort of. There's like points for first downs and stuff, but I've been kind of thinking of it as a half PPR league. Tight end premium. And
bonuses for like quarterback accuracy. If you are over 2/3 completion rate.
Efficiency at the quarterback position, yeah.
Yeah, once you crest 2/3 completion rate, you start getting bonuses beyond that. I mean, it's just how it works out based on completions minus incompletions or whatever. You have to get past 2/3, I think, to be like profitable on your completions. And you get penalized big time for interceptions, I think, right? -4 for interceptions. So it does reward specifically Ouch. Quarterback accuracy. Is that right, Crane? You get big interception negatives?
I think so, yeah. And the other thing,
it's good that we're all in this and we're kind of starting to work out the scoring now.
Yeah, I
never even pay attention to the scoring. I just go get the players that I like.
That's a good point, though. Why don't you just pick the best players?
Yeah, this is the league where I worry about strategy the least. And there's strategy involved. Like, you want to, obviously, you want to get good players, but it's like, you want to get players that you feel like rooting for if you could get them all. Obviously, you won't, but It's a fun draft. Everybody taking all the quarterbacks within the first two rounds. Mm-hmm. So like it's cool like that.
Corrine, I understand you had a recent a draft dilemma going on right now. Is that the case?
Right now. I'm on the clock. Apologies to my league mates. It's only been about an hour and a half. It's not the end of the world.
I'm gonna say for your league mates, you're probably gonna be on the clock for about 50 more minutes, is my guess, at least. That's my prediction.
Let's do the pick. We'll do the pick right now. If can we come to a decision?
I might wait. If Kyle's in the middle of a good point, I might go ahead and go make that pick.
or a really bad point.
You already got your guy, Trey Lance, so you good.
Well, that's actually part of the dilemma is that here's the deal. I'm in the 10th round. I have had a interesting start where I started out of the 105. I took Patrick Mahomes, come back, took Ja'Marr Chase. Then I took Trey Lance, which I think in a number of ways, elite quarterbacks really help your team. The way the playoffs work, it's like kind of staying out of the bottom for like 5 weeks until the last 2 weeks are kind of a GPP where you need to finish really high. But for a while, it's just don't be bad. So with that efficiency scoring, that's why I went with the two elite quarterbacks. And then Aaron Jones, Darren Waller, Jalen Waddle, Gabe Davis, Jerry Jeudy, Drake London. So I've gone wide receiver heavy after the anchor running back and Aaron Jones, got my elite tight end. So now I'm like, all right, do I go back to running back here? Because I have five wide receivers. Devin Singletary's on the board. Tony Pollard's on the board. My stacking partner in Brandon Ayuk to go with Trey Lance. Or do I just take who I really want to take and take Traylon Burks?
Take Traylon Burks.
If you really want
Twinkle
to take
Traylon Burks. Twinkle in your eye
Burks.
When you said that.
Look, yeah. I could hear it in your heart.
I know. It was obvious.
It's a charity league too. You're not trying to like grind out the 3% ROI we probably have on like, you know, the puppy Superflex 2 deluxe drafts we're doing. Take Traylon Burks. You're going to feel better if you win.
Your face lit up when you said the name Traylon Burks. I mean, you were grinning. You started grinning. You were like,
and you did take off your shirt and show your Traylon Burks full chest tattoo.
Right now. It's not a visual medium. Right now.
You guys told me to take Traylon Burks.
Yeah. Do it now.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do it. What would you guys do? Would you go running back here? I feel like running backs may be more sensible or get a stacking. But the least sensible thing to do is take Traylon Burks.
I would take a running back probably.
Yeah, I probably would take Pollard or something.
Yeah.
You gotta get what the heart wants.
Yeah.
The heart wants what it wants.
Yeah. I'm with that right now. All right. Corrine's gonna deliberate that. It sounds like he's not gonna mash any buttons yet. Let's get into what we're here for today. Wide receiver tiers. Specifically, these are best ball wide receiver tiers, and specifically they're put together by Kyle Dvorak, who happens to be here today. And Kyle, even though these are best ball tiers, are we in agreement? There should be plenty of good info here for season-long drafters as well. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, I don't think they're awfully different from our. They're not awfully different from my specifically season-long tiers. There are definitely some tweaks I make to like try and capture different ranges of outcomes, which are like winning your 112-person league is a whole lot different than winning the puppy, which is like a 2 million to first. What is it like, Crane? How many entrants do I have? Like 400,000-500,000. I think.
You mean Best Ball Mania?
Or yeah, Best Ball Mania. The puppy's probably got like 20,000 or 30,000. I don't know. Yeah, Best Ball Mania is I think 500,000, and the DraftKings $5 one, I'm pretty sure, is just shy of 900,000 entrants. So like things like waiting every single playoff week, which is 17, 16, 15, more heavily like matchup based, or you know, we get like rookies who will typically come on later. Like it's been proven out in the data that you typically have rookies producing later in the season more so than early. That is more useful in a contest where you need sort of the nuts in three consecutive weeks. You really need a good, really good weeks 15 and 16, and then like a true like GPP winning, like DFS type of winning lineup in week 17. So that's like the biggest difference to me is not only on a season long level, but on a week to week level, weighting like what does a player's 80th percentile outcome looks and correlation, like understanding that you obviously just want to have, even not considering week 17, 16, just within your own team, understanding that like if a whole team has the chance to move as one, that's more important in a contest, which is more top heavy than your 12 person league. But it's not like, you know, those are the things I'm factoring in. Those aren't the only things. Like it is going to look you know, it will have many shades of what were my, you know, what I put together for the magazine or what we collectively agreed on for the magazine for our consensus ranking. So it is not drastically different. It's different, but not crazy.
Okay, so let's just quickly start with tier one. I think we'll probably spend the least amount of time on this tier. It's Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, period. Lawrence, any issues for you as you look at this top tier? Any quibbles, any complaints?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I understand Devontae Adams being bumped down just a little bit. You got to give him that little bump right there with the quarterback switch. So, you know, yeah, no problem with that at all. That way, if somebody did have an issue, I would only see it as that Devontae Adams. But then you got to factor in the quarterback situation. So we good right there. Great job, Kyle.
Thank you. Yeah, I almost quote tweeted the NBC tweet because they tweeted out, you know, our main account tweeted out this, I really don't think you should have anyone else as a tier one. I don't think you should have anyone of this tier left out. I think you can say, and we will eventually make the argument for tier two players who have a good chance at making the jump. Right. But when you were just pulling like median projections for these players, these three players have like very little to no uncertainty with their situation. And that gives them an incredibly high median with like low standard deviation, right? You're not going to get like, oh, Cooper Kupp ran bad on touchdowns and all of a sudden he's a wide receiver too. Dude, if he scored like zero touchdowns, he could be the wide receiver too, not a wide receiver too. So just having tight distributions, extremely high opinions of these players' talents and good offenses, I can't see the argument for any of these guys out. I wouldn't put anyone, I didn't obviously, but I didn't strongly consider putting anyone else in this group. But I think there are plenty of good candidates this time next year to be in group one.
Well, I was just gonna say the only issue is getting enough of all three. Because I also like McCaffrey and Taylor. I don't have any quibbles with the top five this year.
Yeah.
When you're in a draft and like Chase falls to the six or the seven, and you can scoop there, it is one of the best things in fantasy going back years.
It's the little things in life, and that is one of them.
It's a beautiful thing, man.
If you don't get one of these top three guys, the strategy is just surrender, right? You're done. Season is finished. Just
if you didn't get one of these guys, like Crane said, you really hope you got one of those stud running backs, preferably one of the top two running backs. But like, I have my running back tiers out too. And I put Austin Eckler in tier one. He really wasn't that far, even in half PPR, off of Jonathan Taylor last year. It was like a point and a half PPR, which was bigger than the gap between him and the next player in overall fantasy points, but on a per game basis. So I think if you can get one of the stud running backs, you are fine jumping hopefully into multiple tier two guys. Like you don't just want like, oh, well then I'll take a second, a lower end wide receiver one. You really just want to be jamming in points at the wide receiver position. Cause you can take three of them and then a flex. So if you don't get one of these guys, I would love to try and get multiple tier two guys.
Well, so that takes us right into tier two. The top three guys there in order are Stephon Diggs, the aforementioned Devontae Adams, and Deebo Samuel. That's the first three. Corain, looking at tier two, the top of tier two, who do you think by the end of the season has the best shot at making a leap into this tier one group? Like at the end of the year when we're counting the points in terms of production, who do you think could end up getting there?
This is boring because he's the next guy off the board, but I mean, I think it is Stephon Diggs. I think the market has this right. He was second in the league in air yards last season behind only Justin Jefferson. He had a bit of an off year. He had his lowest yards per out run since 2018, but the Bills kind of had a little bit of an off year at times where they weren't kind of clicking. And I think part of that was Emmanuel Sanders was their like deep threat, which is not necessarily what you want. A guy on his last legs who was never really like a deep threat specialist to begin with. Now I think we're going to have Gabriel Davis, who has put on weight and he's been pretty efficient. And he just, you know, the last game he played was that game against the Chiefs. So it's exciting to think about what Gabe Davis can do in this offense. But also, like, if you have Stephon Diggs, you want Gabe Davis to be good. You want, because he's going to have an average depth of target that's probably 14, 15 yards downfield. That's taking a lot of pressure off of Diggs if Davis is good. You obviously don't want him to become a superstar or something, but, you know, Diggs really just needs a little bit more efficiency. He needs to connect all of his targets. He's still going to get fed. He's still going to get really valuable targets from, you know, arguably the best quarterback in football and arguably the best offense in football.
Yeah, I think he's kind of the obvious choice. I think Deebo would be the other one who I'd be like, yeah, if you didn't think it was Diggs. If you are of the opinion like Gabriel Davis is the next star, right? Debo, we've seen it last year, and I say we've seen it as if we haven't seen it with Devontae, but we've seen it in a more similar situation than Devontae, who is changing both his team's offensive style, his quarterback, and then that team he's going to is also having to change their offensive style year over year, getting a new staff almost entirely. So Debo is still changing quarterback, and we have to see him get back to the receiver full-time role. I love Debo as a running back as an observer of football, but you are getting more points out of him when he is a stud wide receiver one as far as like his team goes. He's just dominating the targets. Through 9 weeks last year, he was on pace, on a per-game pace, over 17 games for 104 catches and over 1,800 yards, and he still had a little bit of rushing volume, but it wasn't the same we saw at the end of the year. But that type of production, I mean, that is obviously, that's like probably pretty close to Cooper Kupp's numbers last year. So that is what you want to see from him. And we've only seen it for half a season. So that's why I didn't put him in tier one, but I wouldn't mind him being kind of the other argument for a guy who, you know, is a pretty easy bet to jump to tier one.
So we're only talking about the first three of this second tier, correct?
Doesn't have to be. If there's someone else you want to mention who you think gets there or has a case to get there, please. Yeah.
Give me Tyreek Hill, man.
I ranked Tyreek Hill lower than I was comfortable with, but I haven't been getting much of him, so it didn't feel right for me to rank him that highly.
Right, and again, a quarterback change like Devontae Adams, you're both of them going from elite quarterback status to one is okay and one are we trying to see what he could do. But for Tyreek Hill, in his case, this is what I'll say about him. Only 15. A lot of people make a big deal about the deep ball, him and Patrick Mahomes, the deep ball connection. That tends to be overstated sometimes. Only 15% of his targets last year came beyond 20 yards. So 100 minus 15%, the rest of that, his targets were received at below 20 yards. And that's all I want to see. I want to see him catch the ball and run, get the playmakers the ball and let them run. So I see in him coming off of a season where he finished at wide receiver six, with him being able to get the ball quick, I see a lot of receptions in his future in Miami in the intermediate part of the field.
One guy I thought you were maybe going to mention there, Lawrence, is T. Higgins, who, you know, probably isn't going to get there. But if Jamar Chase were out for any extended stretch, I mean, I would feel more comfortable betting on T. Higgins than like CeeDee Lamb. I would feel more comfortable than Debo Samuel. I mean, the contingent value for T. Higgins is really, really strong. Like, I think he almost would slot in for Jamar Chase in terms of where we'd be drafting him if Jamar Chase wasn't there. So
I would take him if like today Jamar Chase was like, football is fine, I'm done, I would take T. Higgins as the wide receiver four. He'd be ahead of Stephon Diggs as like, I would, he'd be most closely considered to put him in tier one. I don't think I could do it, but it would be really close. He'd be the highest of tier two.
See, my problem with that is I looked over the article before we did this and I thought Higgins was in the next tier. See, I forgot. That's why I didn't mention it. I'm thinking we talk because I 100% would have said T. Higgins. I mean, on a per game basis, he had more catches, not by a lot, but on a per game basis, he had more catches and targets than Jamar Chase. A lot of people like to play up the LSU connection with him and Burrow, but he doesn't truly favor a certain receiver more. He favors them both because they're both top 12 talents in the league. So yeah, I just thought like I was gearing up to talk about him in tier three. So yeah, just forget what I said about Tyreek Hill. All right. Appreciate that, Pat. Yeah, give me T. Higgins, man.
We're having a little bit of a behind the scenes snuggle war on who's higher on T. Higgins. So I feel like I got maybe a point in my favor on this podcast.
You definitely got it on this because you mentioned him. How dare I forget about T. Higgins, no matter where he's, what tier he is, you know?
Yeah, they call him Tier Higgins, is I think what they call him. No, I like that, though, that, like, I love Ja'Marr Chase, right? But even from, I think it was like week 5 or 6 onward, whenever we had Higgins come back from like the slight shoulder injury, he was something like 4 targets and 50 air yards behind Ja'Marr Chase over the course of a dozen games. That's nothing. It's like literally almost immeasurable. It's within a standard deviation. So there is no real favoritism. I just think Chase is like marginally more talented, a little more explosive with the ball in his hands, but it's close. And it's, I think, so the interesting thing is, it's tough to look at Joe Burrow as like not much of a rushing threat, really just the pocket passer, and be like, do I really want to buy in on an archetype that we're sort of falling out of favor in fantasy, especially coming off of like a season where it's pretty obvious he's going to regress. It's one of the best combinations of both completion rate and yards per attempt we've ever seen. And yet I have both of his receivers ranked as receivers 8 and 3. So Crane, are you getting much Joe Burrow? Because I am getting plenty of the Bengals pass catchers, not much. I don't think any on the same team as far as the top two, but I'm not doing very much Joe Burrow. And that feels like it's a leak. It's sort of I need to find where my leak is on that. Am I too high on the receivers or am I too low on Burrow?
I think I might be probably around the same on DraftKings, maybe a little bit lower. Because the thing with Burrow is he's just a little too expensive, I think. You know, like you're getting, it's like Burrow or Hurts. And to me, I'm like, well, I might take Burrow's receivers and still take Hurts, you know, to get that rushing upside. So, yeah, for me, because you could also be looking at, especially in these best ball leagues or kind of only these best ball leagues, like the ping ponging weeks don't hurt you at all. Like if you have, it's a Ja'Marr Chase week, it's T. Higgins week, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that Burrow is the guy you need in your lineup every week. You could still be better off with a quarterback who has more rushing. So, yeah, if you think about it, like in terms of DraftKings salary or something like that, like I think like Burrow's salary is a little too high. So it'd be the type of thing where maybe you would stack up the Bengals game in a GPP lineup, but then bring in a cheaper rushing quarterback. And yeah, so I'm kind of thinking about it like that.
Lawrence, you asked us a minute ago to forget what you said about Tyreek Hill. I'm not going to do that because you were very convincing. So I will not forget it. But we are going to move.
Don't forget it. Just think of it after T. Higgins. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I'll try to do that. We're going to move to the tail end of tier two. That includes names such as A.J. Brown, the aforementioned Tyreek Hill, and Mike Evans. And I just want to say, if I mention a handful of names, that's only because I don't want to read every name in the tier. So when I ask about this kind of area of the tiers, feel free to bring in other names like Lawrence did. But Kyle, out of this general area of your rankings, of your tiers, who gives you the most concern? Is there a name for you that you're approaching with caution, that you're a little hesitant on when you rank them?
Yeah, for me, it was Tyreek Hill. I'm like one or two spots below his underdog ADP positionally. And it's not even like as much as the deep ball stuff, which is not good, but it's like, it's that plus the overall offense. I really have been down. I don't see Mike McDaniel as being a good fit for what Tua does well, which Tua is like good at a very few, very specific things. He throws on play action well, and he throws off RPOs well. And he does those at like some of the highest, he did, at least did last year, some of the highest rates in the league, but also more efficient on those. And ultimately, I think for his NFL career, that's kind of a crutch. He should probably either be like a prolific rushing threat or just be able to throw from a pocket well. So I would be concerned about his long-term career for that, but I'm even more concerned about just this year, because last year San Francisco was slightly below average in play action rate, and they were about half of the league average in RPO rate. And that was really what propelled Tua to having a decent, able to get his guys the ball season. He didn't even have that good of a season, and that's only because his offense was really as well tailored to his skill set as you can possibly make. And now the Shanahan system, for all of its attributes, using those type of deceptions, right, has not really been something it's done particularly well, or even often, not even well, just it doesn't do it that often. So if we get to a, I don't want to say last year was at his best, but last year was schemed to propel him the most. And now we get an offense that I assume, because we see, you know, Mike McDaniel comes in and he brings in 3 different running backs, one of whom has played in the system, and then a fullback. The team, I don't even think employed a fullback last year. So it's kind of obvious based on the team's personnel decisions, they're going to do the Shanahan thing. And I think for the long term, that's perfectly fine. But for this year, I think it could be catastrophic for the offense. So Tyreek, I haven't been getting him much. I still have him ranked close to his like positional ADP, but behind it.
To me, I don't think it's a risky guy exactly, but I mean, I think there's a risk that he kind of falls out of this ADP tier by the end of draft season. For me, it would be Mike Evans. Evans is like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I was like, man, Evans is going ahead of Debo. I don't know about this. And now I was in a draft this morning. Evans went ahead of CeeDee Lamb. Now this is a DraftKings draft and weird stuff happens, but like even for DraftKings, like I'm like, what's going on? Like we're to me, like the only way to make that pick or to have him generally, I think where he's going is it's like, we know everything we're going to know about, you know, Chris Godwin and we don't. Chris Godwin, there's been some optimistic reports, some pessimistic reports, but there's a chance that he's back pretty early in the season. There's a chance that we're expecting him to be back very early in the season in like a month. So my thing with Evans is if I don't plan to have as little Evans as I do right now in September, and I have very little Evans right now, but I think like I can't imagine how his price gets any more expensive. So just by sitting out, I get to, you know, draft with more information later on. And if I have to take Evans in the mid to late second round in August and September to, you know, make sure I'm not full fading a pretty talented receiver, I will do that then. But for the moment, this just seems like a lot of the upside is priced in and not much of the risk. Evans is an older receiver. He hasn't been that efficient. He's not as like as strong of a talent-based bet as the rest of the guys in this tier. It's really the situation and the fact that he's probably carrying the offense if Godwin's out for an extended stretch.
Yeah, I was going to say Mike Evans as well. From a regular football standpoint, you always know what you're going to get from him, and it's going to be solid. Over 1,000 with the 8 to 10 touchdowns. Coming into the season, I'd rather just wait longer and take Russell Gage. That's a Tom Brady type of receiver there. Cam Brate, he's going to be important in that offense, at least as of today he is. And like Pat said, right now he's up there. He pricey. He like Gucci prices right now. So, you know, draft season that may change, but out of him, Tyreek, and who else did you mention?
I've got like CeeDee in that group.
CeeDee, yeah, I would be the most concerned with Mike Evans there.
All right.
I've been concerned that I'm not concerned about AJ Brown, because everyone else is, and I'm drafting him every chance I get. So that's one where I'm like, why aren't I concerned? Because I keep drafting this guy, and really smart people, including our own Denny Carter, is pretty nervous about AJ Brown. So
hey, sometimes what everybody's feeling is the wrong thing. You know, like the Chargers winning the Super Bowl this year. Everybody believes that. Everybody's worried about AJ Brown. Yeah. But you're not, Pat. So you might be right. I'm not really worried about him either. And, you know, but yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the worry about like Jalen Hurts getting the football consistently, right? I mean, Jalen Hurts, for as good as he is in fantasy, like it was just a pretty frustrating experience having Eagles receivers in fantasy last year overall, and pretty hit or miss week to week, but I don't know.
Yeah, but some of that hit or miss is literally Jalen Reagor dropping the ball. So
yeah. Guys, I can't believe we couldn't rely more on Jalen Reagor, JJ Arcega-Whiteside. You know, these guys, Wes Watkins.
Hurts has really got to get it together. Did you see the way Jalen just ran the wrong route and dropped it? Hurts sucks.
I think the move to Philly would be very concerning because of how run heavy they were basically after like week six or so onward last year. But like, you'd be surprised to know the Titans were also very run heavy at all times when they've had AJ Brown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's I'd say a pretty lateral move. I think you could call it a slight downgrade, right? I think as a pure passer, Tannehill's probably a more efficient passer than Hurts. You could project him to be. And there's probably more downside that Philly is the most run heavy team in the league. They were incredibly run heavy from, you know, week seven onward last year when they stopped letting Jalen Hurts play Superman ball. But it's marginal differences. It's not like he's going from the Bills to the Eagles, right? The Titans are just like, you know, what, 5 hours, you know, probably like 9 hours west Philly. They're just Philly transplanted to a different part of the country.
AJ Brown could get 1,200 yards with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise
me. Devontae Smith got, what, 960 as a rookie. AJ Brown could go out there and get 1,200.
What are you saying, Grant? If he had not been traded, here's a hypothetical. AJ Brown was not traded, so they don't draft Treylon Burks. They do have Robert Woods. Where would he be going in drafts right now?
I feel like he would be going like half a round higher. Right now he goes at pick 26 and a half. I feel like he'd be going at pick like 22, middle of the second, maybe middle late of the second, like 6 to 7 picks higher in the first two rounds. It's a lot of movement within a few rounds.
I think he'd be going right after CD.
Oh, you think even a little higher than I do. We all agree that he'd be going higher.
There would probably be some people ranking him right inside the top 10 if he don't switch teams.
Yeah.
Because it's not like Robert Woods coming in is that's not going to change it. They brought Julio there last year to play a few games. You know, like AJ Brown is clearly that guy.
So it needs to be more than a slight downgrade at the offense is kind of my point there.
To justify the downgrade in ADP,
Yeah, and there's more target competition, but I think we've priced it in. I'm still going to take him.
It's good that we came to the conclusion that you started with.
And you still haven't drafted Treylon Burks as far
not yet. Know, I'm still thinking about Pollard because pretty good ADP value.
All right. Top of tier three features DJ Moore, Deontay Johnson, Jerry Jeudy, Terry McLaurin at 12 through 15. Lawrence, who do you like the most out of this group or in the nearby vicinity if you want to pull in another name? And I want to hear from everyone else. Same prompt after Lawrence goes.
Well, I'm a big Keenan Allen fan. He stays consistent. Some folks think he getting old, but no. But I'm gonna talk about Jerry Jeudy. That's another guy I love this year, man. I feel like this season we'll finally get to see what he was coming out of college. We'll get to see that type of prospect he was coming out of college. Now that he'll have a real, all-pro level quarterback in Russell Wilson. Now the great debate is. Is it Courtland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy? It doesn't have to be that way. We just saw, Russell Wilson in literally every year he plays, he can support two wide receivers if they have that talent. Did it with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Now you got Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. But man, I'm loving Jerry Jeudy. I like him more than Courtland Sutton, and I just think I had to see, you got to say that.
I was gonna ask if you didn't
like
say that.
Like the cop out is to just say both, which is true, obviously. But you gotta go at one. You just can't take the easy way out. Yeah, I'm going Jeudy, man. He had a great rookie season. Started out the his second year with the ankle injury. And then after that, shuffling with Teddy B and Drew Lock at quarterback, so that did not work in his favor. So I think, you get that elite route running finally going there with him and Russell Wilson, the two good running backs in the backfield. I think he'll be able to give us consistent weeks when it comes to grabbing receptions.
Yeah, Crane, where do you fall? I feel like, to me, this is probably the biggest stand in the first, like, four tiers of my rankings that I made, because everything else is mostly within, like, reason of ADP. Having them flipped, I have Jerry Jeudy 4 or 5 receiver spots ahead of Courtland Sutton, both in the same tier, but, I have Jeudy significantly ahead of Sutton, and ADP is the other way, and I think that's probably the biggest stand I make in the first four or five tiers, and it's the biggest one. Jerry Jeudy is probably one of the biggest stands I have in best ball right now. Do you have an opinion on how you should rank them? I still think you should consider the market, and if you are like, understand that you don't have to take Jerry Jeudy as wide receiver 12 or 14 or whatever to make sure you get him. Understand that you can try and play the price game with him, but if I'm preferring one, I've been going Jeudy. Do you have a strong lean on either one?
I have more Jeudy, but it's just because he's so much cheaper. So I would take Sutton, and I do. I take Sutton first, like every time, just because I know the market's going to give me better prices on Jeudy, and I've gotten close to getting them both recently. It is a little tough to get them both, but
it's a rush. It's a rush when you do. I have one.
it's a rush.
You haven't lived.
Yeah, no,
you have not lived.
I like Sutton. All right. I mean, I like kind of a lot of the guys in this general range. I like a lot. The dude for me that jumped out was DJ Moore, who I like that you have as the top of this tier. because I was, because I, you know, I was drafting a lot of Waddle, Sutton, Marquise Brown, kind of all in this range. I didn't have enough DJ Moore prior to the Baker trade. Like I was overweight, but I didn't have like a big old bag. And I was like, I blew it. Like I should have had like 25% of this guy. And you know, I had like 12 or something. So, you know, you take your lumps, right? You're like, all right, I guess I'm taking him in the 303 now, and I'll probably do it. And nope, he's going exactly where it was before. You can fix the error.
It kind of blew my mind.
No one is making me pay. I was like, I'll just take DJ Moore now, who has a better outlook and the same exact price. So that's what I've been doing. It's been an absolute gift. I love it.
All right. We have more tiers to come. First, we're going to take a very quick break.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Just a reminder, if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet, go download it now. The contests are free and easy to play. You have a shot to win thousands by predicting what will happen in Major League Baseball on the PGA Tour and NASCAR circuit. We also have a special contest on Tuesdays and Thursdays called Battle of the Bets, where you can agree or disagree with our experts for a shot to collect some cash. Also, the Fantasy Football Expo presented by NBC Sports Edge is coming to Canton, Ohio, August 12th through 14th. Some of the top experts in the country, including literally some of the people in this room right now, Pat Doherty, Pat Corain, Danny Carter, Lawrence Jackson, Kyle Dvorak, at the only true Fantasy Football Expo in the country. Tickets are available at thefantasyfootballexpo.com. Use promo code NBCPASS at checkout to save $20. Okay, returning to Kyle's wide receiver tiers, it struck me when I was reading through this that as we get into tier four, it feels like we're suddenly wading into a lot of uncertainty. We have some guys with new quarterback situation, new competition on the roster, new teams, at least one notable injury still lingering. So we have names like Amari Cooper, Allen Robinson, Elijah Moore, DK Metcalf, Chris Godwin, etc. Corain, who would you say is the surest bet for you in this tier? Like, who's your favorite target out of this group as we look at all this uncertainty?
If you kind of frame it as who's the surest thing, it's probably the guy I'm not taking that much, and it's Darnell Mooney. Like, I don't think Darnell Mooney's going to get targets. There's no one else.
I was going to say that was Brandon Cooks.
Is Pringle coming for the job? Nope. Is Velus Jones? Nope. N'Keal Harry? Definitely not. Like, no one can take this role away from him. It's locked in. His skill set fits well with Fields, you know, downfield guy. He's shown an ability to play in the slot and play outside, but he's not been that efficient, and he's a very slender man. He's not that tall. Like, I don't think he's going to be a true wide receiver one in fantasy. I just think he's a little bit of a low ceiling play. So, you know, if you're just not enjoying the uncertainty and you want to get a wide receiver who's not going to be nothing, and sometimes that works, right? If you go three running backs early, you might need a wide receiver like that. Might be the right archetype. Yeah. But otherwise, I'm going Rashad Bateman. Rashad Bateman's the guy who, you know, similar play where I'm just betting on targets, but I think he could consolidate targets in a really big way. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, he had like a 27, 28% target share. It's a little bit tougher for me to see with Mooney. And I like the Ravens offense so much better. Like, the Ravens offense could be really efficient through the air, even if they're not high volume. The Bears, I mean, if they're efficient this year, like, I need to like go learn about football, man. I don't know nearly as much as I think I do. If the Bears come out,
a lot of people do these days, man.
Karain, when you said, like, if you start off your draft with, like, three running backs or something, which is wild and too much tea for me to ever have done. You just have to be such a larger, stronger man than I or woman than I to do so. But if I did, my thought was sort of the same process. In what situation do I want to get to? For me, it was Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, I think I have in the article, he's finished fewer than like the wide receiver 21 points per game, like last year's mark of 11 half PPR points per game once in his career. He has consistently been at worst like a low end wide receiver too. But if I have a bunch of running backs on my team and I don't have a wide receiver, my first thought isn't, and this is maybe a flaw in my thinking, but my first thought isn't like, I need to shore up some points of the position. I'm like, I got to go find myself a wide receiver one, like a fantasy wide receiver one. And to me, that is not going to happen through Brandon Cooks. So I'm just like, why don't I just take Elijah Moore, who was like an incredibly dominant college prospect, one of the best yards per route run among power five players in recent years, one of the highest yards for scrimmage from per game over the past few seasons coming out of college. And obviously that offense needs to make a massive turnaround. But if it does, it will happen through one of two players, or in probably a combination to Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson. So to me, I'm like, oh, I don't, you know, I'm going to go up against teams with, you know, T. Higgins and A.J. Brown and even worse, Cooper Kupp and all these players. How do I make up that ground? Realistically, the answer is I've made it up via my running backs. But my thinking is I want to keep trying to make it up through high upside receivers. And Bateman and Elijah Moore are the players who stick out to me as that profile.
Pat, you lucky you went first that time, because I already screamed Bateman right there. And, you know, as I'm looking at this list, I'm looking at DK Metcalf and just knowing that he's so much better than everyone in this tier, probably except Chris Godwin. And it's tough to go away from that. But I'm going to say, if I can't have Bateman in this situation, I look towards Allen Robinson. And, you know, I'm just going to go off of the, you know, he's coming into a situation here with the Rams. In a similar fashion in which Odell Beckham came to this team last year, same age, injury history, can have good games as the number two option in the passing game, had quarterback troubles at his previous stop. All of those things are very similar with these two. Now, Allen Robinson, a little bigger of a guy, a little more physical of a guy at the position. But when you get in that offense, and now, I mean, Cooper Kupp, obviously he going to do what he do, but he is now a man with a target on his back. So I got to go to that offense in which the quarterback is going to hover around 40 touchdown passes. So I'll take the wide receiver two in that offense.
All right, we're going to move now to tier five, and there's definitely some intriguing names here. A few that jumped out at me are Michael Thomas, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sky Moore, Drake London, just to name a few. Kyle, who are you most excited about in this tier at this precise moment?
When I think about excitement, of course, you have to quantify it. You can't feel things without putting numbers in them, or how else would you live life? How else would you understand your emotions other than numbers? Sure. And to me, excitement, I think of basically someone I have above ADP. You know, of course, like, I'm excited about Cooper Kupp or whatever. He's very good, but I'm not going to be able to, like, get him at some inordinate rate because he goes probably roughly where he should. I'm taking an unhealthy amount of Sky Moore. I actually have him and Juju Smith-Schuster ranked in the same tier. I have Juju ahead of him. And that is me just like doing my best to regress my opinions toward the market. So the markets trend toward being sharp, but they miss something. That's how we win. And to me, Juju Smith-Schuster, having not been efficient since like 2018 and not only being efficient, that offense isn't seems like the Steelers offense, you know, to his credit, has not been an efficient on like a per snap basis for any of their players, really, outside of like Chase Claypool. You know, it hasn't been efficient for any of them. But the fact that he's been the least efficient among them, and he hasn't been able to draw targets on that offense to the level of someone like Deontay Johnson. So he's not as good as Deontay Johnson. He's not as efficient as the players on his team. And now, like, do I really think he can come in here and turn his career around? Especially when I think there are players who could just have a baseline of being more talented, and that player being Sky Moore. I think he can make that argument for MVS, though, who just have a baseline of talent that is higher starting off. So to me, it's Sky Moore. I think his competition for targets outside of Travis Kelce is very weak at best, it's not strong. At worst, it's nothing. Like for the Chiefs, at worst, at least, it could really be nothing. Like MVS could be the one trick pony he's always been, and Juju Smith-Schuster could be the player he's been for the past 3 years. And at that point, it is like, it is completely wheels up for Sky Moore to have one of the better rookie seasons we've seen in recent memory. So I'm taking a lot of Sky Moore. I really haven't been taking like almost any Juju, and I've been getting pretty much the rest of the Chiefs as well. So he's kind of the one stand I have against right now.
Yeah, well, you speak of targets. This young man here is going to get a lot of those. By the end of this year, he might be the most popular dude named Drake.
Well, yeah, given the way Drake's recent albums have gone, that wouldn't be that much of a shame.
There you go. Drake London, man. You know, you got him down there in the ATL. You take him 10th overall. Let's not waste no time. Let's not play around. This team going to have, you know, it's going to be tougher than winning some games, you know. So they're going to, despite it being, you know, Marcus Mariota at quarterback, he was just the backup last year. Marcus Mariota doesn't have a history of like good receivers in fantasy. That he is good at having good tight ends. So shout out to Kyle Pitts there. But somebody's gonna have to gobble up those targets and receptions when that attention is going to Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts did get bracketed a lot as a rookie. So that is why they brought in Drake London to start there at that X wide receiver. And you know, even looking at the running back position, man, you know, you got Cordarrelle Patterson who will do a little bit of both. But, you know, and I appreciate him a lot, but, you know, he ain't getting no younger, man. It's time for it's going to be time for Drake to do his thing. So one of these rookie receivers is going to have that type of year, and Kyle's banking on it being Sky Moore. And I'm going Drake London here, and I'm sure Pat's with Treylon Burks, who he still hasn't drafted yet, and Scott Fishbowl. But give me Drake London, man.
Just thinking about, you know, my positional needs, Lawrence.
Think about your feelings.
Think about your emotions.
Think about your
needs.
Feelings.
Yeah,
feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, you also have to think about your future feelings and the upside, the emotional upside. If I take Pollard here and then I get Burks to fall to me in the 11th, I mean, I'm going to be flying high. But to get back to the question at hand here, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is actually who I would pick. Burks, you know, I'm taking London ahead of Burks because the market says I should, and I think there's some risk with Burks' early season role. But if I go Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think he's one of the guys that is kind of illustrative of the difference between like best ball rankings and in-season kind of redraft rankings, you know, managed leagues rankings. Because Amon-Ra St. Brown, like, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure if he's going to be what we saw at the end of last season. But if he is, he's going to be one of the easiest starts. Like, I'm just plugging him in. I'm like, he's getting a ton of targets. Jared Goff is locked onto this guy. You know, he's just racking up points for me every week. Kind of plug-and-play starter. And is Tyler Lockett really have any chance of doing that? You know, I'm with Kyle on Juju. You know, you got to wait forever on DeAndre Hopkins. That roster spot with, you know, you can't churn out for a waiver wire guy really hurts you. Adam Thielen's going to be like touchdown dependent. So a lot of these guys, they feel more like best ball picks to me, where Amon-Ra St. Brown is totally viable in best ball, but in like a high stakes league or whatever, it's easy to see how that pick really pays off. So I would argue, I think that he belongs in tier four if we're just talking about redraft rankings. Like, who's an easier start this year? If he kind of like, not, it doesn't have the best season ever, but he's a hit. As a hit, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is an easier start than Devontae Smith, right? Devontae Smith is going to be kind of tough to know when the weeks are. So I like Amon-Ra a lot.
The case, I'm glad someone brought up Amon-Ra St. Brown, because I think we've talked about this before, and it's hard to quantify, but the case against him is, well, it doesn't seem like he could keep up that pace from late last season, but the case for him is, with a similar role, what if he does? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the case for him. The case is, you know, I mean, sure he put up great numbers. Sure he put up great numbers.
Ignore that rookie season. Like, it's not... This dude almost touched 1,000 yards, and he wasn't consistently starting until the latter part of the season. Like,
yeah,
can't deny that.
Yeah, I mean, you could deny it by saying anyone with a pulse could get targets on a team with Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond as
that
the,
is true.
The number two and three receiver. Right. But I would think that's how you would deny it. I don't know if that's entirely true, though. If Amon-Ra was literally just a guy, it would have been a rough, somewhat of a flat distribution of targets.
He and wouldn't clearly, have capitalized.
Exactly. Clearly, he is more than just a guy because he buried his teammates at the end of the season. He was clearly not just better, like a lot of players are better than Khalif Raymond, right? He wasn't just better. He was like a sun so bright that you can't see anything around it, that much better than the guys they were trotting out at the end of the year.
And he definitely had at least one rushing touchdown because I remember watching it. I forget what team it was against.
He ran might have been against Atlanta, if I remember correctly.
He ran it right up the middle, just like a like he was Cordarrelle Patterson or something. He just handed it off. He ran up. I'm like, oh, they using him like this too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you faded him in DFS that week, seeing him get like a 2-point conversion and a rushing touchdown was only just incredibly difficult. It was, I know which game it was. It was the game versus Seattle because it was best ball playoffs.
Seattle. Yes.
Everyone crushed that week with Amon-Ra. Yeah. And no, it felt good to watch a player I had none of.
Felt great.
Felt great.
I think the other thing with him is Goff. It's like, you know, there's added target competition with Shark and Jameson Williams once he's healthy. But, like, I think part of it is just Goff is not a complete quarterback by any stretch. You know, like, his deep threat in the Rams offenses was usually Josh Reynolds, and he'd have, like, an 8 out of 10. You know, your deep threat's supposed to have an 8 out of, like, 15, 16, like, you know, 17 if it's Marcus Valdes-Scantling. Like, he doesn't really throw deep. Like, he wants a guy who gets open quickly over the middle of the field, and he's probably going to lock onto him. So, there's, you know, maybe they designed the offense so that defenses aren't able to just realize it's all going to Amon-Ra, but there's a chance that Goff is just like, I don't care, I'm throwing him anyway.
Yeah, perfect mesh of quarterback limitations and receivers, what a receiver does well. So there are 9 tiers. We've gone through parts of 5 of them. We don't have time to go through the remainder. In fact, we only have a few minutes before we have to go, guys. So really quickly, just want to go around the room with one additional guy, one additional favorite target from any tier, or one additional fade. And if you want to be quick, you can get in both. But just kind of a parting thought from the remaining tiers from either of you, all three of you guys, before we go.
I talked about him a little earlier. I'll go Russell Gage in that next tier, man, especially, you know, early in the season. He's going to get them looks from Tom Brady, man.
I mean, I'll go Treylon Burks. Like, I think he should probably be in this this tier above. Like, you're ranking him after Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore's 5'3", I believe. Come on. What are we doing here? Treylon Burks is got a huge deal. Another one of these guys were like, sure, in best ball, you know, you probably do want that discount. You're getting it in most drafts, but, you know, he could not start for the first few weeks of the season. But once he does, like, he is passing Nick Westbrook-Ikhine this year. He's going to. And once he does, I think he's going to have a pretty easy time getting targets. His prospect profile is pretty darn good. So, another guy who's probably going to be a pretty easy start once he finally earns a role.
But you refuse to draft him.
Yeah, I also refuse to draft him because I love running back so much.
Yeah, you're a big running back guy. We've always talked about you as being
everyone has that.
Yeah, the muscular, bullies people, gives them swirlies, whatnot type of guy.
I did two consecutive drafts last night where I took 3 running backs in the first 5 rounds. And I was like, what? I was like, I got to go to bed. This was bad.
I got to get more sleep. Kai, what about for you?
I got a Robbie Anderson. Over the past 2 years, he's got 10 games with double-digit targets. He draws targets, and he hasn't done a ton with them in the past 2 years because that's like what happens when you're playing with like the corpse of Cam Newton and Sam Darnold. And Baker isn't great, but he's better than those guys. So he gets targets. He's got a better offense around him now, and he's free as it gets.
All right. Make sure you check out. You can read this full column on NBC Sports Edge right now. Kyle's wide receiver tiers are up. You said the running back tiers are up as well.
Quarterback tiers are up as well, and tight end tiers next week.
Okay. Anything else, Lawrence, Corrine, Kyle, you guys would like to promote on the site before we get out of here?
On A Good Football Show on Mondays, we've been having beat writers on, so make sure you guys are checking those out. Ben Raven was on for the Lions, talking up Amon-Ra and TJ Hockenson.
Lawrence?
Yeah, y'all check out that draft guide, man. Myself and these guys here, we wrote a lot of stuff on this, you know what I'm saying? So, definitely check that out. We also coming with the fantasy previews every day.
Yep. All right. That's going to do it for us. Don't forget to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen. Take a minute to rate and review us as well. I want to say thanks to everyone for listening and watching live. And thanks to you three, Kyle, Lawrence, Corain. Appreciate it. See you guys next week.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.